Tales from the Jazz Age by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Narrated by Kenneth Elliott. Mr. Icky, the quintessence of quaintness in one act. The scene is the exterior of a cottage in West Isaacshire on a desperately Arcadian afternoon in August. Mr. Icky, quaintly dressed in the costume of an Elizabethan peasant, is pottering and doddering among the pots and dods. He is an old man, well past the prime of life, no longer young. From the fact that there is a burr in his speech and that he has absent-mindedly put on his coat wrong side out, we surmise that he is either above or below the ordinary superficialities of life. Near him on the grass lies Peter, a little boy. Peter, of course, has his chin on his palm like the pictures of the young Sir Walter Raleigh. He has a complete set of features, including serious, somber, even funereal gray eyes, and radiates that alluring air of never having eaten food. This air can best be radiated during the afterglow of a beef dinner. He is looking at Mr. Icky, fascinated. Silence. The song of birds. Peter. Often at night I sit at my window and regard the stars. Sometimes I think they're my stars. Gravely, I think I shall be a star some day. Mr. Icky, whimsically, yes, yes, yes. Peter, I know them all. Venus, Mars, Neptune, Gloria Swanson. Mr. Icky, I don't take no stock in astronomy. I've been thinking of Lunnon, laddie. And calling to mind my daughter, who has gone for to be a typewriter. He sighs. Peter, I liked Ulsa, Mr. Icky. She was so plump, so round, so bosom. Mr. Icky, not worth the paper she was padded with, laddie. He stumbles over a pile of pots and dods. Peter, how is your asthma, Mr. Icky? Mr. Icky, worse, thank God. Gloomily, I'm 100 years old. I'm getting brittle. Peter, I suppose life has been pretty tame since you gave up petty arson. Mr. Icky, yes, yes. You see, Peter, laddie, when I was 50, I reformed once, in prison. Peter, you went wrong again? Mr. Icky, worse than that. The week before my term expired, they insisted on transferring me to the glands of a healthy young prisoner they were executing. Peter, and it renovated you? Mr. Icky, renovated me? It put the old Nick back into me. This young criminal was evidently a suburban burglar and a kleptomaniac. What was a little playful arson in comparison? Peter, awed, how ghastly, science is the bunk. Mr. Icky, sighing, I got him pretty well subdued now. Tisn't everyone who has to tire out two sets of glands in his lifetime. I wouldn't take another set for all the animal spirits in an orphan asylum. Peter, considering, I shouldn't think you'd object to a nice quiet old clergyman's set. Mr. Icky, clergymen haven't got glands, they have souls. There is a low, sonorous honking off stage to indicate that a large motor car has stopped in the immediate vicinity. Then a young man, handsomely attired in a dress suit and a patent leather silk hat, comes onto the stage. He is very mundane. His contrast to the spirituality of the other two is observable as far back as the first row of the balcony. This is Rodney Devine. Devine. I am looking for Ulsa Icky. Mr. Icky rises and stands tremulously between two dods. Mr. Icky, my daughter is in Lunnon. Divine, she has left London. She is coming here. I have followed her. He reaches into the little mother-of-pearl satchel that hangs at his side for cigarettes. He selects one and, scratching a match, touches it to the cigarette. The cigarette instantly lights. Divine, I shall wait. He waits. Several hours pass. There is no sound except an occasional cackle or hiss from the dods as they quarrel among themselves. Several songs can be introduced here, or some card tricks by Divine, or a tumbling act as desired. Divine, it's very quiet here. Mr. Icky, yes, very quiet. Suddenly a loudly dressed girl appears. She is very worldly. It is Ulsa Icky. On her is one of those shapeless faces peculiar to early Italian painting. Ulsa, in a coarse, worldly voice, Father, here I am. Ulsa did what? Mr. Icky, tremulously, Ulsa, little Ulsa. They embrace each other's torsos. Mr. Icky,